Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Sweating as soon as you go outside, humidity you can cut through, feeling like you're in an oven while on the subway platform. Yep. It is summer in New York City, folks. The other day I was blinded by salty sweat that just dropped into my eye. Now, city summers are about finding that cool escape, and whether you're hightailing it to the beach, pool, catching a flight to cooler climates, or just cranking up the AC and soldiering through, it's always better with a good book. And nothing says summer than a breezy read you can tear through, and even better if the page turner is really well written too. But with all the books out there, it can be overwhelming to know where to start. And that's where our weekly review preview series comes in, where we invite an expert in their field to curate some of the myriad culture out there. Joining us now is Tina Jordan, deputy editor of the New York Times Book Review and friend of the show, who has a few ideas of books that you won't be able to put down this summer, whether you like romance, true crime, or a gothic thriller. Tina, welcome back.
Hi.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. What's a summer read you've enjoyed lately? Any underrated favorite out there you'd like to recommend? Give us a call, 646-435-7280. Okay, Tina. First of all, before we get to the list, what is your definition of a beach read?
My definition of a beach read is a book I can lose myself in. Mm-hmm. A book that's really well told, where the pages just sort of turn themselves. I want a story, whether it's fiction or nonfiction.
And, you know, what do all the books on your list have in common, or what was your criteria for picking them, since they represent so many different genres?
Fast reads that will just propel you along. I wanted unputdownable books.
So let's start with a couple books based right here in New York City. The first one is called One Last Stop by Casey McQuiston. What about One Last Stop is, you know, relatable to New Yorkers?
Relatable to New Yorkers. You know, I think that New Yorkers, or for that matter, anyone who lives in a big city, knows that feeling of seeing somebody on the street or on the bus or on the subway and locking eyes with them and thinking, even for that split second, I wish I knew that person. Mm. and that's what happens to the main character in this book, a young woman named August, who just keep seeing over and over again the same swoon-worthy young woman. Every single time she takes the Q train, it doesn't matter what car she's in, she sees her every time.
So this book is billed as a romance, but there's some, you know, time travel, stuck in time element happening there too.
Yes.
How would you describe this to our listeners?
Without giving too much away, I'll say that the young woman who August falls for in the Q train is stuck in this 1970s time slip that's tethered her to the Q train. And part of what August is doing is trying to figure out how to help her break out.
And what about the author's writing style stands out to you?
You know, she really captures what it feels like to be in your 20s, to sort of feel like you're drifting, that time is passing you by, that you need to hurry up and figure out your life. But she also really captures that feeling of finding true love. And I think maybe realizing that the family you find might be the most important family in your life. And honestly, she's kind of great at sex scenes, too.
Love it. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with New York Times Book Review Deputy Editor Tina Jordan. I'm Rebecca Ibarra, filling in for Allison Stewart. You're listening to All of It. You know, when you're reading a book in the subway and there's a sex scene and you're like, should I kind of tilt it so no one can see what I'm reading? Anyway, I miss those.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
and to our listeners, we want to hear from you. What's a summer read you've really enjoyed lately? Any underrated favorite you'd like to recommend? Give us a call, 646-435-7280. Okay, so let's talk about another book. A Touch of Jen is another New York-centric novel on your list that has a lot of stuff going on. Can you give us a tagline for the book?
Oh my gosh, a tagline. Let's call it Millennial Sex Comedy Meets Horror Novel.
Love it. So this is the author Beth Morgan's debut novel. Fans of maybe what other authors would love this book?
Oh my, let's say Atessa Mashfe, Raven Leilani, maybe Jeff Vandermeer. I mean, I know that sounds like a disparate list, but trust me, there's a little bit of all of them in her book.
Huh. There's a review that says that it captures the loneliness of the internet age. In what ways does it do that successfully?
The main characters in the book are enamored of this young woman whose seemingly glamorous, glossy life is playing out in these carefully curated Instagram posts, which are in, of course, stark contrast to their own boring lives. And it's really skillfully done. I do think most of us can relate to that. Instagram envy.
Instagram, yeah, absolutely. Okay. You've got one for fans of true crime, and this one takes place in the Victorian era. It's the case of the murderous Dr. Cream. Who was the murderous Dr. Cream?
Thomas Neil Cream was a doctor who was also a serial killer. He was a man who committed murders in three countries, and he killed by poisoning people. Remember, the science of forensics was really just beginning to get off the ground in the late Victorian era, and also a great many doctors still compounded their own prescriptions. So it was easy for him to do.
And what is it about, the author's writing that makes, a very kind of despicable subject so fascinating?
What makes it work is that he's done so much research into the issues of the day. I mean, you learn about what medical training was like and how Scotland Yard worked and what surgery was like at the time. I'll tell you, not good. about how criminal trials were conducted. Like, you get these sort of nutshell histories of all these other things. And I think that's the reason because, who wants to read a book just about a serial killer? And honestly, there's a lot to dig into here because the country he was finally caught in was Britain, and he was killing women in London only 3 years after Jack the Ripper, and still Scotland Yard bungled the case.
So we actually had a caller who didn't want to go on air but did want to recommend a book, and they recommended The Martian Chronicles by Ray Bradbury, which is a 1950s novel, I believe. I have not read this. Have you, Tina?
Many, many, many years ago, yes. I think for classic sci-fi, nothing better.
Okay, let's switch from true crime to fiction. So you've got a couple thrillers here on your list. The first is by an established bestselling author, S.A. Cosby, and it's called Razorblade Tears. Let's listen to the audio excerpt of the very first paragraph.
Okay. Ike tried to remember a time when men with badges coming to his door early in the morning brought anything other than heartache and misery. But try as he might, nothing came to mind. The two men stood side by side on the small concrete landing of his front step, with their hands on their belts, near their badges and their guns. The morning sun made the badges glimmer like gold nuggets. The two cops were a study in contrast. One was a tall but wiry Asian man. He was all sharp angles and hard edges. The other, a florid-faced white man, was built like a powerlifter, with a massive head sitting atop a wide neck. They both wore white dress shirts with clip-on ties. The powerlifter had sweat stains spreading down from his armpits that vaguely resembled maps of England and Ireland, respectively. Ike's queasy stomach began to do somersaults. He was 15 years removed from Coldwater State Penitentiary. He had bucked the recidivism statistics ever since he walked out of that festering wound. Not so much as a speeding ticket in all those years. Yet here he was, with his tongue dry and the back of his throat burning as the two cops stared down at him.
Tina, what about this book has you recommending it to us?
So the story is of two fathers who have found out that their sons, who were married to one another, have been murdered. And mm-hmm. the dads are both ex-cons. And so it's a revenge tale. It's a classic revenge tale. But both Ike's father and Derek's father have had a really difficult time grappling with the fact that their sons were gay. And the way they come to terms with it, the way they end up accepting it and even embracing it, in the end, I think it's really moving.
Hmm. We have a caller with a recommendation. Let's go to Gregory from Harlem on line one. Hey, Gregory, thanks for calling All of It. What are your book recommendations?
Oh, thank you, Rebecca. Listen, I have a couple of authors I really, really like since the library reopened. One of whom is also Nora Roberts, but she also writes as J.D. Robb and has a series called the In-Death series, which I just finished last week, and another one of those. It's a cop book, but it's based in, the 22nd century. So it's futuristic and just fun to read. That has some good sex in it as well.
then, we love it.
Of course, I also love horror. So my favorite horror author right now is a guy named Dean R. Koontz, who you probably heard of as well. I just picked up his new one, The Other Emily. And I'm only three chapters in it, but again, I'm going to be thrilled.
Gregory, thank you so much for calling with your recommendations. Tina, do you know these books?
I do know these books. And confession, I find Dean Koontz so deeply, deeply scary that honestly, like for the past year, what I don't want is a book that's going to put me on edge even further. So I got a few chapters in and was like, I think I'm going to wait to finish this.
So listeners, you've been warned. This is scary if you go with one of Gregory's recommendation.
Right.
So let's talk about another novel that has already been optioned for film, the thriller Falling. We're actually having the author, TJ Newman, on in a few weeks, so we'll have some more details. But what is it about this story that has everyone buzzing?
I think it's the plot hook, which is pretty irresistible. Let me see how succinctly I can put it. Mm-hmm. A pilot has just taken off from LAX when he gets a text message showing his wife and children are being held hostage. And he gets a message. If he wants them to live, he has to crash the plane. So T.J. Newman is a debut author. I don't want to obviously give away anything that goes on in the book, but I have to say, if you're about to take a plane trip, don't read this book.
Got it. I definitely have a few friends who, yeah. I will recommend not read right. this book. So let's go to another book, sorry, which is called The Temple House Vanishing. This is on your list of thrillers. You know, it's this moody, gothic-inspired book set in Ireland, and it's got a spooky setting at an all-girls boarding school. It's got a disappearance. What sets this book apart from the current crop of, you know, gothic novels?
I think it's just like the steamy, close atmosphere of it. I mean, the basic storyline is this very hot teacher shows up at this all-girls boarding school and half the students fall in love with him, and then he vanishes along with one of them and they're never heard from again. The story sort of is playing back and forth between present day and back then. And again, I don't want to give too much away, but that's, can I just say that that's a hard thing to do successfully, huh, especially for a debut author. You know, this young woman is a debut author. I think her name is Rachel Donahue. But, you know, at the beginning of the segment, I told you that I really looked for books that are stories, and I just felt like she's a born storyteller. There's nothing forced about the plot. She just kept me glued to my chair, turning the pages.
Let's go to another caller because we have time. Melanie from Jersey on line one. Thanks for calling All of It. What are your book recommendations?
I recommend, first of all, anything by Louise Penny, P-E-N-N-Y. I mean, everybody that I know loves Louise Penny, and they're all different kind of people that love her. She has a new book coming out. Anything by Anne Cleves, C-L-E-E-V-E, I believe S, Anne Cleves. Mysteries, very good. And also a book called Fortune Favors the Dead. Really interesting, really good. Takes place in New York in the 40s, and just very, very interesting book. I wish I could remember his last name. His first name is Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, the author, something with an S, his last name. I don't have time to look it up now, but it's Fortune Favors the Dead. Well worth reading.
Melanie from Jersey recommending Fortune Favors the Death and anything by Louise Penny and anything by Anne Cleves. And we actually have another listener on Twitter saying Future Feeling by Joss Lake, the best sci-fi book I've read in a long time or ever. Tina, in the few seconds we have left, any other book that you really think listeners should pick up for their summer reads?
Oh, I loved a historical fiction novel called The Dictionary of Lost Words, which is a fictionalization of the creation of the Oxford English Dictionary. That might be because I'm a word nerd. I guess that would be my other recommendation.
Tina Jordan, deputy editor of the New York Times Book Review and friend of the show. Tina, thank you so much for calling All of It.
Thank you for having me.